glad for each of you that are here this morning. I want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus. Nice to see our visitors and some that are just home folks come back. So I want everyone to join in and worship the Lord and seek for His special help this morning. I'd like to look over into Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Starting there with the first verse. And if you can just absorb all that is in these verses, I think you could read them over and over again and they'd be full and rich for you every time. This morning I've already had several people text me and say Happy Father's Day. And I had to think about this scripture. I hope that we realize that no doubt the most wonderful Father is our Heavenly Father. And we all want to pattern our lives after Him. But He's the one that gives us the most complete example that we can have. And this scripture is about our Heavenly Father. And just think of it as we read down through here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and he is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. A wonderful, wonderful chapter. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to Thee this morning thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that looks down upon each one of us, and He is a perfect Father, that He knows about every one of our needs, and He's got the ability to take care of every one of those needs. And He knows what's good for us and what is not good for us. And He knows what will help us and what will hinder us. And we just thank Thee, dear Father, for Thy tender mercy and Thy love to each one of us. And we pray that Thou will be with us this morning and speak to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we might receive that good food that will build us up spiritually and make us that we might be more like Thee. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I thought our memory verse went real well with this chapter where it says, "For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." And over in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, he so well describes the greatness of God in Isaiah 40. And I can't comprehend this. I can't even begin to comprehend what he's saying here. But in verse 12, he said, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weigheth the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." It's already past my comprehension. You know, we just a little while back was up at the fellowship meetings there in Michigan, and numbers of places there as you're driving along the shoreline. You can look out into some of those Great Lakes and some of the ones that come in from the Great Lakes, and you can see water, 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 water. And it, I don't know how deep it is, but hundreds and hundreds, and even you get on out there, it's thousands of feet deep. And for me to comprehend a place out there that is a mile deep or several miles deep, just water, that looks tremendous. It looks like an amazing thing. And then if I'd get out on a little boat, there'd be no problem as long as it would be still and everything was going right, whether you're fishing or whatever you're doing. But all of a sudden, if those waves get to tossing back and forth and higher until they're way up and crashing down on your little boat, and you're probably heading for land as fast as you can. But he's measured these waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in balances and the hills in a balance. I know that we flew out to Washington, D.C. one time and flew over the Appalachian Mountains. And you look down on them and, you know, they don't look very big. Just look like little hills down there. And then flew out to Oregon and you look down on the Rocky Mountains and those huge mountains, and some of them are 14,000 feet and more with their white caps sticking up. They don't look high at all. But then you take the road that leads up to the top of one of those mountains. We went up there that time, up on the top of Pike's Peak, and it seemed pretty high. And all of a sudden, things changed. But it's hard for me to comprehend. You know, these things seem so big to me down here. Huge mountains and volumes of water. And yet God, they're just nothing to God. Another thing, place in verse 15, he says, "Behold, The nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The nations as a drop in a bucket. I mean, if you would take this and dip your finger in and let one drop down, there's the nations. And yet, they look so strong and mighty, and here comes on their day of celebration, Russia, with us all of its thousands of men and huge tanks and missile carriers and all those things, displaying their power and their might. And yet God says it's just like a drop in a bucket. God's in control. God is in control. And all of the things, the ones that say their light things against God, they're only fooling themselves, because God is almighty. And he holds it's like the dust on a balance. And he said, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And then my mind goes back to the scripture that we just read, where he is actually willing to come down and to be my heavenly Father personally. To be my heavenly Father, one person out of millions and millions of people all around this world. And yet when you steal away and get alone with the Lord in your place of prayer, or during the day when you're praying to the Lord and you lift your heart and you're hungry, you're needy, and you look to the Lord for special help, he comes down and his glory covers the mercy seat, so to speak, of your heart. And you can sense the fellowship that you have with God. To think that the Almighty God, that knows how little we all are, and yet out of that drop of the nations of the dust on a balance, one little person he can pick out and not only look at you, but listen to your thoughts and fellowship with you and deal with you and work with you. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, if we take more time doing that, blessing his holy name and lifting his name up and focusing our spiritual eyesight on him, our own problems would seem very little. At the fellowship meetings, before one of the services, there were three of us brethren standing back talking about things. And it's different. You know, used to be, it probably wouldn't be like if three of these young fellows here would be talking back at the back before the fellowship meetings. But here's three, and I don't know, we don't like to really be called old men, but three men that are probably all of us over 60, maybe some over 70. We were standing about there, and you know what we were talking about? We were talking about our aches and our pains and all the cures and the things that really work for us and help us. And all of us were really engrossed in all of these things. You wouldn't find these young fellows talking about that. They'd be talking about whatever. I'm not for sure. My mind doesn't run that way anymore. And then one of them sort of looked and grinned at the rest of us and said, about what we were talking about. Well, it was, if you will, we were very concerned about each other and all of our different things that were affecting each one of us personally. But just to realize God is concerned about you. He's concerned about me. And the things that concern you concern him. And he doesn't just see your outward appearance like I see all of your smiling faces this morning. And you look like a healthy group of people. And you look like a happy group of people. But I dare say that there are concerns and things that are in your mind that I will never know anything about, that you may only tell God. But that's the place to go, because he's concerned about you personally and me personally. Those things that would weigh us down, That's why he says, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And the young men can do the same thing. They have problems that to them looks like mountain peaks. They look very big. Some of us older ones, we've gone through those things. And those things, God has worked them out. And he's leveled out some of those high mountains. But now, we got some mountain peaks out here that we'd think, well, they don't know what, they don't even know about what old people are going through. Well, we all have our mountains. But in God's eyes, they're as nothing, because his power is almighty and is omnipotent, and he's able to take care of every single problem that we have. And therefore he says, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes we forget that God is listening. And sometimes we get to just going through the motions. But oh, let's not ever fall into that awful rut of just going through the motions. Because there is a place near to the heart of God that is a place of bliss to the Christian, to the one who's living for the Lord. It's not just being a member of this church or that church or whoever our background is, whatever. But it's being a member of that heavenly host. And one of these days, the most important thing is not going to be like Jesus said to the disciples, because they were healing the sick and they were casting out devils and all those things. But he said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And whether we're old, whether we're young or middle-aged, the most important thing in our lives should be that we know that everything is right between our soul and the Lord. It's not that I've made you think that I'm all right. You don't know all about me, but I've got it all taken care of as far as you know. Well, that's not enough. But just to know that God knows where we stand in his sight. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I've mentioned this before here, but I'm going to mention it again. We were going to Bible school out in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there is a tremendously high building among the other skyscrapers there in Cincinnati that is called the Carew Tower. And you can get on the elevators and ride up, I don't know how many stories it is high, but it's 500 and some feet high, I believe it is. And you can go clear up on the very top of it, and there's an observation deck. And the brick comes up about so high, I believe it is, and goes all the way around, and they even have these big things that you can look in, and you can see out there. I think you had to put a quarter or something in there to be able to see. But you can stand there and you can look off 500 and some feet down, way below. And just across the street from the Carew Tower is a huge bank that reaches almost as high as this Carew Tower. And I stood there one day and looked down. I think my sister was here with me. Way down below, the cars looked like, oh, I don't know how little they looked, just tiny little things down there. And the people looked like little pinpoints walking along on the street. And they were going into this big bank, and some of them coming out. And, you know, in our eyes, I thought, wonder if one of those people, one of those ones that I see as little pinpoints walking along there, would maybe be the banker, the head banker in that great big building that's just across the street that I can see there. And maybe he's getting into his big Lincoln Continental, and he gets in with his all of his self-esteem and sits down, or maybe he sits down in the other seat and he has a chauffeur. I don't know how it goes, but in this big black shiny vehicle that I can hardly even see down there, it pulls out, and that big banker with all of his self-esteem sitting there thinking of what all he has and what all he owns and the millions of dollars and the people that come to him day after day, and he can say, I'll give you a loan, or no, I won't give you a loan. There he goes, pulling out. And I wonder if it's not the way God looks down and he sees the way that sometimes we get attached to these earthly things and we think we're doing pretty good. But we've got our sights off of the main thing. If we slip and are not able to get through to heaven and the channels get clogged and the prayer channels where we can get through to God, we can gain the world but lose our soul, and we've lost everything. That little man, his breath, he doesn't realize it, but his breath is controlled by the Almighty God that sees everything he's doing. He knows the bad deals he's pulling. He knows the crooked things that he's doing. He knows about every one of us. But he is our Heavenly Father. And the thing that's so most important is, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God has lots of mercy to the ones that fear him. You'll find that all the way through this scripture. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You flip over in the next, in verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And the one that wants to take the bits in his own teeth and do what he wants to do, he's out from under that shield of mercy of God. And if we don't have the mercy of God, we're in a pitiful shape. We're in a pitiful shape because the enemy is seeking to devour every single one of us. And if God's not protecting us, we're wide open to deception and all that the enemy has. But those that fear him and those that keep his covenants, those that do his commandments, his remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, and hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I hope today that of everything, anyone that we remember on Father's Day, that we look up again and from the depths of our heart, that we remember my Heavenly Father. He's a personal Father for me spiritually. Let's kneel in prayer.